I want to thank Corey and all the everyone for giving me this opportunity. I was wondering if I could ask Barry, could you pray for me as I preach, please?
Yeah.
You can do it from there if you like.
Yeah.
Thanks. I want to thank Mark too for all your help this morning. I realise this will be the last sermon that Mark and Yuan, is it? So I better do a good job, eh? last sermon in Australia. So I got a really encouraging phone call this week. Oh, hang on, I'll get my watch up. It was from a mate of mine who. Not a really close mate, but it rang me up. It was really encouraging. He said, "Look, I'm praying for you. I just want to let you know that." And then I said to him, I thought I'd better ask him what I can pray for him. And he said, "Look, Norm, you just pray. What matters to me is just the end game. Just pray that at the end, the Lord will he will say, 'Welcome, good and faithful servant.'" Now, I think this parable is all about, it's the parable of the 10 virgins. And Jesus is not speaking not only to his disciples, but he's also speaking to you and me. And we get a Guernsey in this. And in it, he sets out our destiny. Now, Mark, if you can just kick it up, mate. He says there's a door. At the end of life, there's a door. And some of us are going to be inside that door and some of us are going to be outside that door. It's really interesting. If you think back over, you know, when you went through a youth group and you think back those who are in your youth group, maybe a bit harder for you younger ones, but you think back how many of them are now still walking with the Lord? And it can be a bit scary if you do the numbers. And one of the scariest things about this parable is that in some ways there's very little difference between the five wise virgins and the five foolish. Both of them were there. Both were waiting for the bridegroom. Both of them had their lamps, you know, but their eternal destiny is just so different. Am I a bit too close to this mic? Okay, right out. So, and I think it's the worst. Hang on a sec. Yeah, and I think it's the worst, it's actually the worst 10 words, or most scariest words in the Bible, are uttered by Jesus at the end of that parable. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you." And I, you know, that's, for me, that's really scary. And he says, you know, we've got to make sure, you know, watch, be ready, we've got to be ready. And we want our friends to be ready and our family to be ready for that last day. And this parable is actually part of a block of teaching. And if you turn back there to Matthew 24, where Jesus tells his disciples and us what life is really all about. And he says that he who endures to the end will be saved. And then he goes on, and this kingdom of the gospel, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached right to the end of the earth. And so I think Jesus is telling us here that we really have to have in mind the end as we make our decisions. And we really need to have each other's back so that we make sure at the end we're going to be welcome into that door. And it's really is a parable telling us that we have to be wise in our decision making, because the one who stands firm to the end is going to be saved. And and now, I think as we make decisions, there's a principle that really, as we make decisions, we actually start with the end in mind. And I think it's a principle. So if you're going on a journey, what do you do these days? You get out your Google Maps, and you put in, you've got to put in your destination in it. And so the destination determines all the turns and where you're going to end up. And I think that's true with our Christian life, with a Christian journey. We start with the end. Also, that principle applies in a whole lot of areas of life too. Like, I'm a chippy, I'm a carpenter. And when you're building a house, you've got to really have in mind what's it going to look like in the end. And I've got all the decisions about the, you know, what the footing's going to be, materials, everything is determined because I have the end in mind. And just think, if you're building, you know, a huge thing, like, say, a big hospital, and, you know, which is, and all the, all the intricacies of, you know, like the emergency ward and all that as they actually start at the very bottom, they've got to have in mind, you know, what's all the services that have got to go into this, you know, into this emergency ward. And, you know, it's very complicated, but they start with the end in mind. And I think it's the same with life, that also as we with our family life, isn't it, we've got to start with the end in mind, you know, at the end of my life, you know, what do I want to end up with? You know, I don't want a broken marriage and a really crap relationship with my kids and with my wife, you know. And so that really, it makes us really think about how we make decision makings. And the same thing with our work commitments, isn't it? If I'm going to be so, how do I, you know, do I take this promotion? Do I do this job? Or what do I do? I've got to think very carefully, you know. If I take this job, how's that going to affect where I end up at the end? Am I going to be so busy, so, you know, so in that I'm not going to have any time for the really important things in life? So I think we start with the end in mind. Now, I just want to look a little bit at the context of the parable. So if we go back there to Matthew 23, we see at the end of Matthew 23, what's happening there is Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem, because Jesus knows what's going to happen, isn't he? And he's longing for them, that for them to welcome him. And it's so sad that the very one that God has sent to rescue them is the one they're going to crucify on a cross. And so as we get there, as the disciples are there and they're looking at the temple, and it looks tremendous, and they're saying to Jesus, hey, isn't this temple so good? A bit like maybe when we have visitors come over from overseas, we might take them down to Darling Harbour and to the Harbour Bridge and think, oh, look at all this, you know, how Sydney, how great it is. At one level, it looks so great. But Jesus sees another story, isn't he? He says, you see all these, you know, this beautiful temple, and Jesus says, truly I say to you, this is there in 24, I say, there will not be one left here, one stone upon another, that will not be thrown down. He's using, you know, really violent language here. This temple's going to be smashed and it's going to be destroyed. Indeed, that's what happened. You know, how long ago after Jesus' death and resurrection was that temple destroyed? Only about 30 years, wasn't it? And so Jesus then gives a really, he's pleading with the disciples, and he says to them, hey, don't let anyone lead you astray. You know, and that's a really strong warning, and it's a strong warning to us too, because it's so easy to be led astray. He says, many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and they will lead many astray. You're going to hear of wars and rumours of wars. And see that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. And it's interesting, the famine now in the Horn of Africa now, in Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, Nigeria, the United Nations saying this is unprecedented since the beginning of the United Nations. It's just horrific. And then Jesus goes on to say, all these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And I think these words here of Jesus, it's such stark contrast to a lot of the prosperity gospel stuff that you hear in Kenya, where they say, come to Jesus and you'll be healthy, wealthy and wise. You know, you name it and you claim it. But Jesus is very upfront. It's not going to be a picnic, is it? It's going to be tough. And he says there, you're going to be hated for my name's sake, and many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. And I think it's marvellous the way, you know, when good memories of St. Paul's here, you know, you're a family, isn't it? And it's great to have how you say goodbye and you're praying for sister and brothers as they head off there to Beijing. And that's marvellous, and we've got to keep that love strong, don't we? And then Jesus says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So I think consistently through Matthew's gospel, Jesus is really upfront with his disciples. He says, you know, we've got to expect, you know, we're going to expect persecution, we're going to expect hard times, and we need to have each other's back and really encourage each other so we get there to the end. And I think it's great having Trevor and Kay here to celebrate 50 years. What a great example you guys are, eh, to go the long haul. And it's tough these days, eh? And so our Lord knows that through his word, one of the ways that he actually keeps us, isn't it, enduring, is through his word. And he wants us to know the end. We're not to be in the dark. And he tells us the future, and he invites us to be with him in that future, isn't it, to be welcomed into that door. And in the parable of the sower, he tells us all the things which are going to cause us to fall away. You know, like in, you know, the don't be like the seed that fell on the rocks. You know, when persecution comes, they fall away. Or those who rungs the thorns, you know, there's the pleasures of this world and all the worries can choke us, choke life. We've got to have our roots deep into him and in his word. Now, 2 weeks ago, I think, was Corey, was it that Andrew was here? Okay, now he gave me a bit of a, he wanted me to do a bit of a test, give you a bit of an exam, okay, to see how well you listened. Now, he was saying, he also preached from Matthew, and he did a block of parables there, and some of them are about the parable of the weeds and the good fish and the bad fish. And also he referred back to, talked about, Jesus there talks about, he refers to himself as what? The son of who? Ah, son of man. You even got one up here, eh? The son of man, isn't it? So the son of man. And that's actually from which book of the Bible talks to us about who this son of man is and what he's going to do. Yeah, spot on. Yeah, Daniel? Okay, I'm going to give a good report card so far. Okay. And in a vision there, it shows that the world's in suffering. You've got this beastly regime, one beastly regime after another. And it looks like it's out of control, isn't it? But God rules. And at the end, he's going to come to rule and to judge. And then he says, he drew the attention that God's judgment is coming. And then he said that there's three things about that judgment. Anyone remember what they are? And it is a fair judgment, isn't it? Because God is God of love, so he must judge evil. What did Andrew tell you about the judgment? One is they all start with the letter D. It's starts with D-I-V. D-I. Mate, it's not going too good, eh? Divisive. It's divisive. The next one, it's this. Who said that? Ah, yes. Okay, decisive. Right, yeah. And the third one is? It's D-E-S. Deserved, yeah, okay. So that's it. So it's divisive, it's decisive, and it's deserved. And then, I want to go on. So, and I think as we come to this parable, the parable there of the 10 virgins, I want to just, I want to tell the story, and then I want you actually, I'm going to retell it. I want you guys to actually think about learning it so you can actually tell it to someone else this week. Okay, I'm going to give it a crack. You game? Okay, so it's a parable. So he says, then the kingdom of heaven is going to be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Now, the 5 foolish ones, they took their lamps, but they didn't take any oil. The 5 wise, they took some extra, a tin of oil with their lamps. And then what happened? They got the bridegroom, he's delayed in coming, in returning. And so they all got drowsy and they fell asleep. And then at midnight, the cry goes out. The bridegroom's here. Quick, go out to meet him. And then they all got up and they trimmed their lamps. And then the foolish ones, they said to the wise, hey, look, our lamp's going out. Give us some oil. And then the five wise ones said to the foolish ones, look, if we give you our oil, we won't have enough and you won't have enough. Look, go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. As those five foolish ones are going off to get their oil, the bridegroom comes. And those who are ready, he welcomes in. And then the doors shut. And then the other five, they come, the door shut, they knock on the door, let us in, let us in. And then he says, the bridegroom says, truly, I never knew you. And then he says, watch and pray, you've got to be ready. Okay, now I'm going to repeat it back and I'm going to get you to elicit some of the words. And then after this, I'm going to split you up the middle. One side is going to say one verse, the next side is going to say the next verse. Okay, you all good? I'll just make sure I got it right, okay? Okay, at that time, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins, okay, who took their lamps and they came to meet the, went out to meet the bridegroom. Very good, you're going good. Five of them were foolish, five were wise, very good. The five foolish ones, they took their lamps, but they took no oil. The five wise ones, they took extra oil with their lamps. Now, the bridegroom was delayed, and so they all became, yep, and they fell asleep. Then, at midnight, the cry comes. The is coming. Get ready. Go out to meet him. They all got up and they trimmed their lamps. The five foolish ones said to the five, give us some, because we've got no oil. The wise said to the, if we give you our oil, well, won't be enough for any of us. Go and buy for yourself. As they to buy the return, and those who were ready were welcomed in, and they went in, and the door was shut. Later, the five, and they come to the, and they say, let us in, let us in. And then the bridegroom says, I tell you the truth, very good. Therefore, keep, because you do not know the day nor the hour. Okay, very good, very good. Now, I'm going to split you up the middle, okay? Right, yeah, we're going to kick off with this side here, okay? Nath's your side, okay? You're leading us, okay? Now, at that time, then the kingdom of... Oh, no, you got to start. Then... yes, keep going. We'll be like... Erickson, okay, you guys. The five... took there, but didn't take any oil. I think it's...
Sorry, I'm getting right.
Okay, now, it's a little bit different here on mine, so... Now, the five wise... Very good. Now, the bridegroom was... And so... Excellent, very good. At midnight... Very good, very good. All right, the five foolish said to the very good. The five wise. Okay.
as the five foolish went to buy the very good. Those who were went in, and then the very good. Then the five foolish came. Very good. Let us in. Then the bridegroom said, yes, I do not know you. It's the saddest words in the Bible. Then he says,
Now, you done good? Now, this as you tell the story, it's good to get a couple of basic questions, five questions. One question is, what do you like about that story?
Anything you like about the story?
Challenging.
Okay, it's challenging, yeah? Anything else you like about it? It's simple, yeah?
Yeah.
What's something that you don't like? What you don't like about the story? That bloody...
The wise ones don't share.
Okay, that's the wise ones don't share. Yeah, that's a very good point, yeah. Okay, anything else?
That when the foolish come back and want to enter, with all good intention of wanting to be there,
yeah,
that they're refused.
That's right, yeah. Okay, that's a very good question, isn't it? What do we learn about people? So the third question is, what do we learn about people from the story? Look in the story, what do you learn about people?
You need to be prepared.
Okay, so we need to be prepared, yeah? What else?
People forgetful.
Yeah, we're forgetful. Anyone gone on a journey and they forgot to take their charger with the mobile phone? Okay. Okay. What do we learn about Jesus or God from the story?
He says what he means.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. It's been in it. Yeah, that's right.
God's rules are already in place.
Sorry?
God's rules are already
in place. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the rules are in place, aren't they? We can kick against them, but they're there, aren't they? Okay. Then, what about the next one there, which is the fifth one there is, how does this change how I think? How does it change what I say and what I do? Does, doesn't it? Yeah, very much so. It's scary, isn't it? Yeah. And the next one there is, how do I fit into that story? Because we all get a Guernsey, we're all in that story, isn't it? We're all going to be at that door one time. And so are going to be our kids, our neighbours, our work colleagues. They're all going to be at that door. That's right, isn't it? And so I want us to think, and I challenge myself too, is who can we tell that story to this coming week? Just think about that, and maybe I'll give it, Corey, you've got the job of actually cracking the whip on that. I'll leave you the spear if you like. Okay, right, yeah. Okay, now, is Jesus, now who said, is Jesus saying he can't share? Who was saying that? Okay, what's your name?
Nathan.
Nathan, okay. Right, so I think that's a really good observation. Is Jesus saying there that we've got to be selfish? And I think if you're in that same block of teaching, just a little bit further over, Jesus is going to come, and he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, this is in 25, with the holy angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne, and he's going to separate people one from another. Then the king will say to those on his right, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and he gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. So Jesus is not saying we're not to be selfish. On the contrary, we're to be incredibly generous, isn't it? And generous not to our own family, but to our stranger, isn't it? And I think as I've thought about it, is that I think he's saying at the end of the day, we've individually got to do business with God. It's got to be my decision. If I'm going to be a disciple and follow Christ, I can't just rely and piggyback off my dad or mum or my family or my friends, isn't it? It's an individual decision, and we're going to be held accountable for that. Is any Bob Dylan fans here?
Okay, great. What's your name?
Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, this is it's a bit hard to see, I'm afraid, but Bob Dylan wrote this great song. He says, "Are you ready?" And that's the words that Jesus says at the end of that one. Watch and pray, you've got to be ready. And he says, "Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you where you ought to be? Will he know you when he sees you? Or will he say, 'Depart from me'? Are you ready? Hope you're ready. Am I ready? Am I ready? Am I ready? Am I ready to lay down my life for the brethren and to take up my cross? Have I surrendered to the will of God, or am I still acting like the boss? Am I ready? Hope I'm ready when destruction cometh swiftly. And there's no time to say fare you well. Have you decided whether you want to be in heaven or in hell? Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you got some unfinished business? Is there something holding you back? Are you thinking for yourself, or are you following the pack? Are you ready? Hope you're ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment? Are you ready for that terrible swift sword? Are you ready for Armageddon? Are you ready for the day of the Lord? Are you ready? I hope you're ready." So really poignant words. And I think just a little bit before that, Jesus talked about the parable. He's talked about the fact that he's the Son of Man and he's going to come in judgment. And he comes to put down the enemy. And also in that parable, just a little bit in Matthew 24 there, Jesus goes on to say that he talks about Noah, and he says, as in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking, right? Now that today is MasterChef, isn't it? They were eating and drinking, they were marrying, getting married. What's that marriage show on TV? Okay, that's right, there's a lot of them in there. And he says, so he's talking here about the days of Noah, isn't he? And then he says, and they were right up until the very day that they entered the ark. And so, and then what happened was then God shut the door, didn't it? So there they were. Just imagine, in those days, when he's building that, there was no Bunnings there, and there was no tower cranes. How long did it take them to build that ark? And their neighbours would have been taking the mickey out of them all the day, wouldn't they? What are you doing? Hey, you must be crazy. And yet, Noah could see the future, didn't he? He knew that day was coming when God was going to judge. And so they persevered, and he and his family. And then right until the very end, then they all entered with their food. And then what happened? Then God shut them in, didn't it? Just like at the story of the parable of the 10 virgins, the door was shut, and then it was too late. And so, and I think Noah is a great, Jesus deliberately tells the story of that as we think about the end time. And we think about, well, us, isn't it? We've got to be busy. We want to know that the end's coming, and we want others to know the great news of salvation, that they enter, not enter the ark, but to enter Jesus. Just in conclusion, I think I think it's all about what we need to do is encourage each other to persevere to the end. And we've got to make our decisions in the light of the end. Anyone been on Tough Mudder? Tough Mudder? Okay, there's a great, in Tough Mudder, it's about a 24K race, and it's really tough. There's a lot of obstacles. And the whole thing about it is, at the beginning, you've got to take a pledge. And the pledge is, it says, the end is, it's all about not me winning the race. It's all about helping each other to complete the race. And there's some obstacles where you've got to climb up. You can't do it unless you've got someone helping you. And he says there, and the pledge is this, as a Tough Mudder, I understand that Tough Mudder is not a race, but a challenge. I'm going to put teamwork and camaraderie before my course. I do not whinge, kids whinge. And I'm going to help my fellow mudders complete the course. I overcome all fears. And I think I mentioned that because I think that's the Christian life. And we need to encourage each other. There's obstacles. We get stuck in stuff and we can't get out. We need each other's help. And certainly I know Janelle and I will need your help and people's help as we go to North Kenya. And it's true in life and all our just ups and downs of life, eh? And I think just to close up, I want to think Hebrews 12, and I love this one. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight
and the sin which sings so closely. I've been involved with Overcomers Outreach, which helps people with addictions. You know, maybe it's porn, maybe it's drugs, alcohol, food, whatever, gambling. You know, we've had people come to Overcomers Outreach. They've been sitting in home groups or small groups, discipleship groups, for years and years, struggling with some addiction on their own. It might be porn or whatever. And they're struggling there alone. They feel ashamed. We need to help each other, isn't it? Because we battle with different stuff. And the great thing about Christ, in Christ, isn't it? I love the parable of the prodigal son when he come home, isn't he? The father runs. He puts his ring on him. He puts the best. He welcomes him in back home. And as Christian brothers and sisters, we need to welcome each other and help each other to stick it out to the end. And then he says, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. And so that's what we've got to do in it, and stick it to the end. So just in conclusion, don't be led astray. We've got to endure the end, and we want to take the gospel to the end of the earth. And then we need to be ready. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this parable. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that you don't want us to be in the dark. We thank you for your incredible love for us, that you were the one who bore the curse, who bore our judgment, who bore our sin, who defeated the enemies that overcome us, the death and sin and judgment and the devil. And we thank you that in Christ we can be forgiven, and the end we will be welcomed in. Help us, give us a concern, Lord, to share this great truth with our friends and family and colleagues, and do that in your strength. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.